Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So we usher in 2016, and what a start. 12 days into month number one, Kevin Wilson armed now with a new contract extension as Hoosier football stability locked in through the year of 2021. Basketball Hoosiers have coached Tom back in the top 25, unbeaten co-leaders in the Big Ten, off to its best league start looking back 8 years plus. Tonight we go behind the scenes with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass a little bit later, a veteran Hoosier wrestling coach Dwayne Golden, and redshirt junior this week's Big Ten Wrestler of the Week, Nate Jackson, young man out of Crete, Illinois. He drops in for conversation along with his head coach. Nate, of course, off his upset of previously unbeaten and number one wrestler in the country at 174 pounds, Penn State's Bo Nickel the other day before a raucous crowd at UGym. And I tell you one thing, the wrestling Hoosiers, a young team but nationally ranked, and they're starting to make an impact team-wise in the rugged conference. Since this is our only Tuesday show of January, due to conflicts with IU basketball, we're going to extend our conversation into the 7 o'clock hour. So we have ST in OT, and we'll be talking with former Bloomington South baseball coach Greer Werner, who will be inducted a week from Friday night into the Indiana Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame following a terrific 27-year career and 400-plus victories. It's a big show Tuesday, ready to start as we welcome you to our Tuesday night home, Yogi's Grill and Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana for Sports Talk, BTS, Behind the Scenes. We're live from Yogi's, along with producers Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, including IU Athletics. Belated Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Joe Smith, and boy, I tell you, Fred, always great having you on. A new leaf we turned, yet another year, 2016. And lots to talk about, but we'll kind of temper things just a bit because we received some sad news from Indianapolis.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I look forward to talking a lot about the good things that are going on. But as I mentioned to you within the last few hours, Andrew Smith, the former Butler University basketball player, lost his valiant battle with cancer. And he and his wife have been models of inspiration, I think, for Hoosier fans all over the country, and certainly Butler fans as well. So just on behalf of Indiana University Athletics, I want to extend our condolences to Andrew Smith's family during this very challenging time, and hope they take some solace in the fact that he served as a great inspiration to a lot of people.
Well, and he was a great basketball player. Yeah. I mean, he was an integral part of that both of those teams that Brad Stevens led to the Final Four at Butler, and we're saddened by the news of Andrew Smith's passing, and our deepest sympathies, not only as Fred mentioned from the Indiana University athletic family, but to all that knew the Andrew Smith family. Well, we have a lot to talk about, and I tell you what, you kind of refer to it as a buzz, but a buzz of excitement, and why not? Boy, I tell you what, to coincide with the end of the college football season, we took it a step further, and everyone's, I think, excited that you and Kevin Wilson able to get together near a month after Indiana went to its first bowl game and a month of Sunday spread. And, boy, here we sit with a commitment. We sit with stability and a little continuity. What a great move.
Well, thanks, Joe. I'm really, really excited about it and couldn't be more pleased. And it was an easy process because Kevin wanted to be here and we wanted him here as more of a conversation, I think, than in a negotiation. And he was focused on coaching up and winning a bowl game and recruiting, and wanted to certainly leave that time for that. But as time went along, we thought, well, let's try to get this buttoned up with a national championship game. As you pointed out, it's kind of an exclamation point on the season.
Correct.
Thought that time would be good. And so we did. We finished it up yesterday. And as you point out, I think it's a commitment to Kevin It's a commitment to continuity, and it's really a commitment to Indiana University football, where I think we continue to speak more with our actions than even our words that we're committed to getting Indiana football to where we want it to be. We're making the investments, and I think this contract reflects both those things. Number one, our commitment to continuity, and number two, our commitment to make the kind of prudent investments that will help us get Indiana football where we want it to be.
And I remember he had 2 years left on his original contract when you brought him in from Oklahoma as the offensive coordinator out there and to his first head coaching position 5 years ago. It was a move. You had talked about that that word continuity, and that's what the first contract was all about. And it is a slow, steady build. We're not fooling anybody. Rome wasn't built in a day, but there is progress, and there is cause for this faith contract, if you will, between you and he and the rest of the best in the football family to take this process forward.
Yeah, Joe, I think faith is a really, really good word, because I'll be the first one to say that this contract's not a reward. I've seen headlines of, Wilson rewarded with contract, and it's really not about a reward because, candidly, based upon pure wins and losses and bowl appearances, this isn't the kind of record upon which you would reward someone with an extension. So I have my eyes wide open. It's not about rewarding mediocrity or anything like that. It's about how do we get to the future we want with Indiana football? And I believe enough was shown, and really some special things were shown in our ability to compete with the elite teams in our conference and elite teams in the nation for the top 10 teams, go toe-to-toe with them. And I get it's about winning, but sometimes before you win, you have to get close. And for a long time, we weren't even close. So I hired Kevin 5 years ago because I was sick of having sand kicked in my face in the conference, and I wanted a tough guy. He was going to bring mental toughness, a resilience, a belief, been there, done that attitude that he could extend to his players. I think that's what he's done. I mean, these guys don't lose heartbreaking games and come back and almost win again and again and again by osmosis or something. It's coaching. So I'm thrilled that Kevin's staying. I think this is all about the future. It is about continuity and commitment and having a tough-minded, really smart football guy who cares deeply about his kids and cares a lot about academics. I mentioned to you before, Kevin's produced more academic All-Big Ten kids than we've had in any similar period in the history of IU football. So I think he's the whole package, and I think he's going to lead us to bigger and better things.
You take a look, and you brought him in because of his knowledge of offense and all we have done. 47 school records by the wayside in offensively speaking. And, we look back on a year where we led the Big Ten in total offense, scoring, and passing offense. That hadn't been done since Ohio State did it in 1995. And, there were some gut-wrenching losses, but you talk about the quality of the coaching staff and the quality of the kids. And you and I talked about this before we went to New York and played in that bowl game. Backs to the wall, needing two wins, both of them on the road, getting the job done and giving this university a chance to play in a bowl game. That kind of sizes it up in the nut.
Sure. Yeah, I think you put it very, very well, Joe. And again, I'm really excited that we've got this teed up, and we do think we've got some great guys surrounding Kevin. And we'll continue to make prudent investments in staff to retain or if we need to attract and get there. This team has an identity. I mean, I get that on the defensive side of the ball with some modest improvements, we probably would have won a few more games. But I also am excited that Indiana University has a football identity, and it's a little bit of a destination for student athletes who want to excel there. And we're mindful of the improvements we need to have on the defensive side. And I think we'll get there, too. And then, when that happens, it's Katie bar the door.
Yeah, 2016 is here, and our football season will start on the road down at Florida International Labor Day weekend, and then we'll be home for the home opener September the 10th against Ball State. So job well done there, and we're just getting started because a week ago tonight, both you and I were immersed in, I get along. long sleeve sweater on tonight, but I still get goosebumps thinking about 1976 and the show, The Lights Dimming at Half, that horizontal banner. We got lots to cover, talking about what went on last Tuesday night. Little basketball. We got great wrestling news as well. Yeah. So we'll have your honor roll, also your department in the spotlight, and our employee of the month of January. All to come. You're listening to Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Happy New Year, everyone. Belatedly, our first and unfortunately only our only show of January. Sports Talk going behind the scenes with Vice President, Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass, and mentioning the Yogi spot. You know, they started serving the brunch back in November, and they're extending it, obviously, now that we're in 2016. We haven't had a chance to talk about it, but weekend brunches start Saturday, 11 until 2, and Sunday from noon until 2, right here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. You know, Fred, in passing, was talking a little about what Kevin Wilson and his staff and the program and all of our advisors and tutors and what have you about the fact that we've had numerous in a five-year span, 111 to be specific. And that being said, 80 Hoosiers earned a fall academic All-Big Ten honors in the seven fall sports, being named to the academic All-Conference team. And we had a couple of our student-athletes, Fred. I thought we'd throw them in your honor roll list. Nikki Zuckerman, women's soccer, and Bobby Browning, who runs cross-country for Ron Helmer, they earned special recognition. And there's nothing like being unblemished in anything, but an unblemished cumulative grade point average, outstanding.
How crazy is that? That's like in the rebuff days.
Yeah, yeah. I made it up to 4B. That was my highest. Fred can relate to what we talk about at rebuff. We both prepped there. Well, I tell you what, we're both well aware of what was going on in 1976, and boy, you know, we had it last Tuesday night, the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Will be in reality, you know, maybe by October or early November of this year.
Right,
now,
right.
You know, I can remember we started talking about it, and right. I had to remember what year we were in.
Right.
Just talk about that, the horizontal banner, the lights being dim, and what a great touch. And we had nine back. We had all five starters. And like seniors' night, the encased jersey that they brought fame to Indiana University during that brilliant 32-0 season. Yeah. What a night, man, I tell you.
Joe's magical, and it exceeded my wildest expectations. And, you know, these guys are my heroes. You know, yeah. Speaking of rebuff, I was at rebuff when they won the national championship, skipped school, and went to Ware Cook Airport to welcome them back as a young lad. But it was great. The turnout, as you said, was terrific. We had all five starters. All the seniors, so it was all the starters, plus Jim Cruz from that great senior class. The only three guys that couldn't come, you know, physically were unable to come because of travel or health. So, you know, everybody that could come came. Some of those guys hadn't been there in a long, long time. So it was really terrific to have everybody there. And I think maybe my favorite moment was when they were in the pregame, they were all lined up at the press conference.
Uh-huh.
You know, everyone took a seat up there, and everyone shared a memory, a story, and the love between the guys, and the fondness for Coach Knight, and the commitment to the IU fans was just really terrific to see. And then, of course, when we went out, and the fans in the Assembly Hall could share the moment, and the lights dimmed, and those guys walked out.
No, that was.
I'm having chills about it right now.
Yeah,
and you know, they never got their jerseys like we do now, so we got jerseys for every one of them framed and presented. And as you mentioned, the horizontal banner. It's, if the fans haven't seen it, it's in the red, with the white satin letters stitched on like the other banners, but it commemorates that the 1976 team was named by the NCAA to be the best March Madness team in the history at that point, the 75 years of the tournament. And we thought that was worth a tribute, and that horizontal banner will hang in front of the new hospitality area that we are going to name the Spirit of 76 Club, in honor of the 76 team, but also an honor of the spirit of that team, we think, lives in all the teams that have come after. And as you're old enough like me to remember that Spirit of 76 was a big thing, along with the bicentennial
sure.
for the country, which was also happening in 1976. So I think that Spirit of 76 captures that nicely. And then we also announced that we'll be doing statues of the starting five and all five seniors, so the starting five plus Jim Cruz, in front of Assembly Hall, prominently displayed, as it should be, since that team, in some ways, really epitomizes everything people hold great about Indiana basketball.
I was going to ask you about the statue situation. What a great move there, and it'll be professional sculptors. I mean,
right.
it's going to be
no snowmen, no cutouts by me. We're retaining a bronze sculptor.
Yeah.
And we actually have a few more that we're going to announce later.
Good.
So a little teaser there, but it'll be cool, and talk about a Kodak moment where it'll draw people to that area. It'll be very, very cool, and that team will be immortalized.
Well, and that's what makes this so special. I'm glad to hear there's going to be more later on in the year, because this is a year-long commemorative celebration of the 40 years ago that basketball team of Bob Knight's went 32-0 and won the national championship. So I know you'll be keeping us posted there. Well, I tell you, we fast forward it from 76 to 2016. I kind of like what I'm seeing from TC's team, Mr. Crean and the staff and the players. Off to a solid start. We're not going to put the cart in front of the horse in a rugged lead, but I tell you what, 4-0 is 4-0.
Well, it sure is, in two road games.
Sure.
You know,
you kidding me?
And how about that effort on Sunday? I mean,
that was
Lord,
scintillating.
That was
first half.
Just great, and on both sides of the ball, I guess. I don't know if you use that term basketball, but 48-18. Are you kidding me? Ohio State's not chopped liver now. They had gone up, beat a decent, a good Northwestern team. In Evanston, and Thad Mata is a great coach, and they have talented guys there. We just spanked them. Spanked them.
Good old rump thumping.
And then held that lead throughout the second half. I think it got maybe as low as 22 before we blew it back up to the 30 range. So real credit to Tom Crean, getting those guys in the right places, in the right setups to succeed. The defense that he's been teaching, I think, has really taken root. Keeping the up-tempo, that's not easy to play lockdown defense and then up-tempo when you have the ball. But I forget what the statistics were. You probably know in terms of points off turnovers and second chance points and
32. That was
emergence
the season
of OG and Juwan and wow, I could just go on. So that was awesome. Plus, the latest in a 9-game winning streak, and starting off Big Ten play 4-0. There's only a couple other teams that are 4-0 or that are undefeated. So really, really exciting. And Assembly Hall was rocking too. Thanks to the fans. That was a great environment on Sunday.
Gave, and that was part with the students still out, and of course they're back, but they gave a lot of people that normally don't have a chance to see Indiana play, came from neighboring counties as well. There was a good delegation, I know, from Green and from Bartholomew County that came to the game on Sunday.
And Joe, I should mention, all around the state too, and the roads were really bad. Hazardous, and there were people from not only this general area, but Fort Wayne up in Elkhart, who don't get a lot of chances to come to the games, bought their ticket, and man, I'm glad that they were given such a great performance, because I think that made that 4 and 5 hour drive home a lot easier.
No question about that. And the Hoosiers, you can see it on the big screen here, BTN, 12:30 on Saturday afternoon at the Barn up in Minneapolis. And the schedule's very, very favorable, really, the rest of the month as far as home games. And you and I both being on the road as much as we were during that month span, from, say, the Maryland game all the way through Maui and New York City and the bowl game, that was a lot of travel. So it's just kind of nice to be back at home.
Right.
And we'll throw on your honor roll list, and we mentioned Nate Jackson. He's in the house tonight. What a great accomplishment that young man had the other the other day on Sunday over at UGym as Dwayne Goldman's wrestlers, very competitive with a young team within the toughest conference in the country in wrestling, and a nice effort there. And Thomas Bryant also earlier this week on your honor roll, on right. the Big Ten honor roll, freshman
right.
of the week.
Right. No, exactly right. I don't know if we're going to come back to wrestling and Nate, but that is a big, gargantuan deal. That boy at Penn State was the number one kid in a really tough weight class, and Nate thumped him, and really a remarkable achievement that I want your listeners to really know about, because it's a really big deal. And like you said, the Big Ten is a murderous conference in wrestling, and our guys compete their heads off, and we've had, I think, some really we had some success this year, and I think we'll continue to build and do that throughout the rest of this season.
And if you haven't had a chance, this weekend is a good opportunity to do that, because the wrestlers will be at home and we'll embellish it more. It'll be at 7 o'clock on Friday night when Maryland comes in, and another opportunity for Indiana to post a dual meet victory within the league. Well, we'll kind of close it out as we usually do with you, and who is our department in the spotlight, and who is our employee for the month of January?
Well, you know, this is always tough because there's so many good groups, but I'm certain things get put in my mind in this trip to the Pinstripe Bowl in New York, and all the logistics and all the people behind the scenes in a variety of ways, but I especially thought about our equipment operations people. And it's like moving a small army on any game when we're away in football, but especially on something like a trip to New York, and you're trying to maneuver in Manhattan, and we're talking about new uniforms and all kinds of stuff, outfitting our people. And so it just reminded me what a great job these folks do, you know, day in and day out, not just on the big deals like the Pinstripe Bowl or so forth, but, you know, Marty Clark, Rusty Stillions, Mitch Gudmundson, Jay Sears, my man who was here on campus back in the day when I was here, Carter Ubelhauer. They all do a great, great job. And, you know, we're constantly churning the laundry, replacing bad equipment, working with the kids on what they like, and what they do is pretty terrific. But out of all that group, and any one of them could be the employee in the spotlight, but I want to give that to Mitch Gudmundson, who does all the stuff for football and handle all the equipment needs for the bowl game. There was all kinds of extra equipment needs and gear needs. You know, we sent a semi truck across country with all this stuff. And he's just awesome. And, you know, it's not a glamorous deal. And sometimes he's called out to do crazy stuff at crazy hours. And you know how fast Kevin goes, and Mitch is staying right up with him. But I don't think there's anybody on that staff that Kevin values more or thinks more highly of than Mitch. So Mitch is my employee in the spotlight.
Yeah, those guys work, and I mean into the early morning hours, because when the truck gets back from the road trip, they unload that truck when it gets back. So, I mean, that it is painstaking.
Yep.
And one of the definite behind-the-scenes group, and well-deserved, Mitch, and what a great guy. What a great guy there. Well, as I said, Happy New Year. That'll about wrap it up for this month, and it was good seeing you. And onward and upward for all of our sports teams. By the way, we're talking about basketball in Indiana, and the women play tomorrow night against 18th-ranked Michigan State at 7 o'clock, and I'm not going to hex them. I'm just talking about, you know, stats are stats. Our men are 10-0. Our women have not been beaten in the Assembly Hall in six games. And, you know, hey, what a tough 1-2 they had to go through on the road.
Right.
With Purdue and also with Ohio State, two conference unbeaten. So
and Michigan State comes in flying high. But I'll tell you what, I love this team, and I love the way they're playing.
Wow.
And I hope that if people can, they come out tomorrow 7 p.m. and cheer on the Hoosiers against a very, very tough Michigan State team. But I like the cut of the jib of these kids, and I hope you know, the fans come out and support them and enjoy some really, really good basketball.
Well, I tell you what, we know your schedule is going to be tough in February, but we'll have a show behind the scenes, you know, and we'll see you in March. We're going to see you, we see you about daily anyway, but
right.
Best to Barb and the family, and Happy New Year, and onward we go.
Thanks, Joe. It's really invigorating. The kids are back on campus, and we're back in the classroom and back in the training room, and it's upward and onward for IU Athletics.
And mentioning back, we'll be back with the sports talk to talk wrestling with the veteran coach himself, Dwayne Goldman, also the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week, Nate Jackson, out of Creed, Illinois. When we come back a little bit later, Greer Werner goes into the Indiana Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame coming up a week from Friday. Greer's in the house as well, and we'll relive some well-deserved diamond memories as well throughout 400-plus wins spanning 27 years. All of that and still more, and a reminder, we'll be taking Sports Talk a little past the 7 o'clock hour, so, you know, we're just getting started. Back with more on Sports Talk. You're listening to Live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Corner of 10th and Indiana Sports Talk, rolling along on our first show of 2016. And as I say, we'll be going a little bit overtime past the 7 o'clock hour, so stay with us, because after we talk wrestling with Dwayne Goldman and Nate Jackson, we'll talk a little baseball with Greer Werner, who will be inducted into the Indiana Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame a week from Friday, following just an outstanding season. Well, mentioning outstanding, Dwayne was saying, did I hear right that Ohio State only had 18 points at halftime? Well, he wasn't at the basketball game because you had a great crowd. And yeah, and deservedly so. A, your wrestling team is really on the improve, Dwayne, a young one. You were taking on the perennial NCAA champion, top-ranked Penn State, and you had a heck of a crowded U-Chim, huh?
We did, even in spite of the weather, which was a little touchy that day, of course. You know, we had a really loud, pretty full gym. We had had a kids' clinic prior, had a great turnout for that. Had a great crowd of just Hoosier fans that showed, and they were really loud, got into the match, and it was there was a lot of excitement that night.
Well, you know, you and I had talked earlier in the year, and I know it was soon after you went on the road and won at Minnesota back earlier in the season in December. That hadn't been done in many, many moons, but it really told you a lot about this young team that you have. A lot of them, most of them, I think, save two, are all redshirts, young men that you've brought along. This has been a good season, and there's still a lot of mad action left.
Yeah, we get into the meat of the situation coming up with our Big Ten duels, you know, wrestling. We have Maryland coming up this week, but then we have, you know, Michigan and Iowa and Ohio State and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's been a great season so far. Our guys are young, and our team as a whole, virtually our entire lineup, except for a couple, are underclassmen and either freshmen or redshirt freshmen, a couple of sophomores, and they've just done a great job in meeting all competition and battling hard and pulling themselves into where they've you know, cracked the top 20, and some guys individually have been in the rankings. Of course, Nate, he's moved up to number 6 in the nation, and but even like Luke Blanton has climbed into the top 20, and some other guys are pushing that effort as well.
Well, I tell you, 6 is great, and we were hopeful of that because he was alluding to Dwayne Goldman. Nate Jackson, the young man out of Creed, Illinois, Marion Catholic High School. And, Nate, first of all, congratulations on that great match you had against Bo Nickel. You knew his credentials. You knew that he had a big donut next to that L column, and you took care of business. Talk about that experience. And Dwayne was mentioning the raucous crowd. Tell us about the atmosphere in your match.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to give thanks to God because he made it happen for me. I pray before every match, and I feel like that really centers me and kept me in this match and kind of helped me in those moments where things kind of got a little out of control. But, I mean, the crowd was just big. That was the biggest thing. I don't think we've ever had a crowd like that, and I kind of fed off their energy throughout the match. It was a roller coaster ride, wild match, but coming in, I was pretty confident. I knew I could win. I know I can go with guys. I've been wrestling the top guys in the country for a while. I've had close matches with 1-2s and 3s before, and it just feels good to finally get that win. And I feel like I need to build off it. You know, it's not a time to celebrate. I mean, it's not the end of the season. You know, like Coach was just saying, we got Maryland coming up next, and we can't have a letdown. So I'm looking forward to the end of the year.
Well, you've won a couple of individual titles already this winter, Nate, but how neat was it when that referee held your hand high in the air, signaling you had just knocked off Bo Nickel?
That was a very unique feeling. I never beat a guy number one especially at this level. So I think, you know, that's something I'll take with me for the rest of my life, as the coach said. And I'm going to use it as a positive. There are things I needed to work on in that match. We've already been over some things in the room, but overall, I mean, I found a way to win that match, and I feel like that was important.
You know, Coach Dwayne Goldman, Nate Jackson, his voice, number six nationally now at 174 pounds, and for good reason, he's 22-2. You know, that being said, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it and talk about the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, your boy. He's not a boy anymore. He's a young man, but I remember him when he was at Bloomington North, Garrett. And what a great ending to that match, that duel, when he gave you the rest of the points against Penn State, and he came up with his first collegiate pin. Talk to me about your emotions, with your boy.
Yeah, it's definitely been to use Nate's term a little bit of a roller coaster. He's, he's battled through a lot of injuries through his career, and he keeps persevering. And to go out against Penn State pin his opponent, get that first career fall, and especially against a team of that quality. Every guy they put on the mat is a great competitor and somebody that they expect to come through and help them maintain that number one standing in the country. And it was great for the crowd. It was great for him. And it's every time he steps on the mat, it's an emotional thing for me. Just as he wrestles through his senior year and gets prepared to move to another chapter of his life. So, it was a great experience, and just those are the kind of things that I'll remember for sure.
Well, and remembering one of your outstanding wrestlers taking down a number one. You know, you've been here a long time. You're no some neophyte. I mean, you're a veteran. I can't recall had any wrestler at any division, and you've had some good ones, take down a number one previously that you can recall before Nate did it Sunday.
Boy, I'd like to say yes, but off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember who that might have been at the time. Maybe it could have been Angel or Joe Dubuque, or even
You had some good ones. Yeah.
I've had some great guys go through, but this one stands out. Bo Nickel's a great competitor. I mean, there's a lot of season left, but he's a phenom coming out of high school, and he went to the number one program in the country, and he's undefeated on the season. And there was just a lot of great things going on for Nate to be able to take him out that time. But they're going to meet again, and as he mentioned, there are some things he needed to clean up. We've been going over them, and it's all about changing the little things from here on out. It's not making the big sweeping changes. He doesn't need to do any of that. It's fixing the little things that'll hopefully make an impact next time around.
Well, I was going to ask you, I'll ask Nate, but I want to ask you your vision of where he has raised the bar. How far has he come from? Well, you redshirted him. Here he is sitting 22-2 in his junior campaign. Where has his improvement evolved?
Well, I think a lot of his experience, coming out of high school, he didn't even really wrestle. He wasn't even a full-time wrestler. He's a multi-sport athlete. And even within that, he'd wrestle during the high school season, but he didn't really wrestle in the summers or do a lot of things there. But he's been very committed to the sport, and he's improved every year. He wasn't nationally ranked coming out or anything. Nobody saw him on the radar. We just, I saw him in the recruiting aspect of it. Saw him and just, I really felt that he had just something special that could help him be very successful and do a great job. And he's starting to figure it out, and he's come a long way. And there's still more to go, but he's doing a great job so far. And he's a junior. He's got another year to go as well.
Yeah, Nate, you and I had talked and discussed. I mentioned that you had made it to the NCAA tournament last year. We're very competitive. You had 30 wins on the mat last year. And one of the first things out of your mouth, that was last year, and I wasn't satisfied. I got a whole new season and everything. What's made you a better wrestler? Talk about the components that made you into this state, a 22-2 number six ranked nationally wrestler?
Well, I mean, it's always the coaches kind of make it easy with the way they push us in practice, and it's really tough for me because, you know, I might not be the best runner or I might not be able to lift the most weights, but they really get the most out of me in practices. And then just, you know, being on the mat, being at the NCAAs, like you mentioned, that experience was really, really moving for me. I think that it's kind of helped shape this whole season. I had a feel for, you know, the level of wrestling I would need to do to be able to compete or to reach my goals at this level. And it's kind of, you know, refreshing. Sometimes you can step back from the season and look at it, and it's like, well, I'm 22-2, so, you know, it's a big improvement over last year. And, you know, but it's just so much more to go. It's so much more to go. We're getting into our Big Ten season, and this is where all that mental preparation and, you know, of course, the physical preparation is going to manifest. So,
you know, and it was a good measuring stick being at the NCAA, seeing what it takes to be a podium young man, a gold, silver, bronze, whatever they ring around your neck. You told me, too, two key components was your diet and the weight training in the off season. It got you ready. Both you told me at one time you thought you were a little too heavy.
Yeah, I got up to like 210 last year, and I was kind of cutting down to make 74. I did a really bad job of managing my weight, and I think that kind of led to other things as far as like maybe injuries and stuff toward the end of the year, not feeling great in some of those tight matches. And this year I felt really fresh. I think the coaches have been on me about keeping my weight where I need to be, and it hasn't been perfect every time, but, you know, I feel like it's a lot better from last year, and I don't have to, you know, deal with those wears at the end of the year that, you know, I had to go through last year.
Big Ten Wrestler of the Week, Nate Jackson out of Creed, Illinois. And again, the Hoosiers, who are 4-1 overall, and Maryland, 7 o'clock at UGym. That'll be on BTN Plus over at UGym. I'll ask both of you the questions, and we'll go to you first, Nate. And you saw Penn State. You saw, you know, their tradition in the sport, what it takes to be a Big Ten champion, obviously an NCAA champion. Where does this team now, where and how does the Hoosiers improve now with, again, a relatively young team going into the meat of the schedule? Where's this team improve?
Well, I don't think we can look too far ahead, because the only way we're going to improve is by taking it day by day, like the coaches tell us every day. And, you know, we are here now, so the only way we're going to get better is if we push ourselves, and then we have to create a culture. And I think it's been created and established through the coaches, and it's finally starting to click. And guys, you know, this freshman class learned a lot faster than last year's freshman class, and I think it's just going to, you know, continue to progress there. I think we're starting something good, and I think the guys know it. The guys know they're young, and they know they can improve, and I think every day we're getting better. So,
Dwayne, he brought up a great word, to change the culture, and you can see it. I know you and your staff can see it, obviously. You're a veteran of this this sport, getting these young men to compete at a high level in the best conference in the country. That's so important, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I think, you know, myself, my assistant coaches, Coach Simmons and Coach Pascoe, you know, worked hard in our recruiting, and you know, we recruited these guys. The guys that are competing this year, coming out of high school, we put together a great recruiting class, and we redshirted them all last year, knowing that, you know, maybe some of those guys could start for us, but we needed to look ahead, and we're getting to that point. We have a couple other guys in the room this year that are you know, great competitors, have wrestled really well in open competitions, and you know, we're putting a stable of guys together that's going to continue to improve and also be together. Like these are groups where, again, they're freshmen, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, the entire class, except for, you know, possibly Nate, who will be a senior next year. You know, this is a group of guys that's going to be together for 3-4 years, and they're already competing at a high level. But, you know, they're taking their lumps, and this is when it starts to get a little tough on those newcomers. But you know, we're really excited about where we're going, and we're excited about coming up. You know, with Maryland, you know, part of it's staying healthy. We got dinged up a little bit against Penn State, and you know, Maryland has a really tough team. So again, we're not looking ahead by any means. It's going to be a a very competitive match. But, you know, every week is competitive, but I'm confident with these guys we're sending out virtually up and down the lineup. Each guy that steps out there, they're ready to battle.
Well, Coach, we wanted to bring you on. It was great timing after an outstanding crowd and you know, what was accomplished, not only a part of by Nate Jackson, but your son. It couldn't have worked out any better. And thanks for coming in, and the best of luck to you. And I got a feeling we'll have you back in before this season, especially when we look ahead to the Big Tens and the NCAAs. Dwayne, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Hey, and Nate, you know, the job's still open when I retire. You're still interested in being a broadcaster?
Very, very interested. Very interested.
Well, you did a bang-up job, and you even did a more of a bang-up job all season long. Keep it going. Keep healthy. And when you praise the Lord, you know, he takes care of good people. Good things happen to good people, Nate, and best of luck to you the rest of the year.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Nate Jackson joining us along with Dwayne Goldman. And when we come back, we're just getting started as we move into overtime on Sports Talk. And we'll talk with Greer Werner, who led Bloomington South baseball to consistent success during a 27-year coaching tenure. So much so, they're putting him in the Hall of Fame. We'll have comments with Greer as we continue along. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, he's all interested right now in how those Pittsburgh Steelers, he's an avowed Steeler fan, and they're still they're playing out in Denver, and that's just part of our scenario on the airwaves Sunday, 4:10 pregame show, preceded by Seattle and Carolina. That's the bill of fare on Sunday, and we'll continue those NFL playoffs with Kansas City and New England at 4, Green Bay and Arizona at 7:45 on Saturday, and that is our NFL list of teams. And we're talking about Pittsburgh native Greer Werner, who's been, and I've known him for almost 40 years now, since he moved into Indiana and graced us with his family and wife Nancy and his knowledge of the game of baseball and other things. But he loves his Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'm not here to talk about NFL football. Hey, how about this? A week from Friday, and I'm glad it was brought up the other night, because for some reason I thought it was in April, thinking baseball season. But a week from Friday, big night, you're going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Talk about that, my friend.
Well, Joe, it's quite an honor, and I was pretty excited when I got the phone call. I happened to be up in Wisconsin at the time, and we always had the state clinic in January, and I can remember the very first one I went to, which was at the Speedway Motel. The Hall of Fame didn't get established until about 1979. Mm-hmm. So this was quite a thrill.
Well, I bet it is. And where will it be held now? The 22nd. That's a week from Friday, just around the corner.
Yes, and it's going to be up at the Sheraton Hotel, which is at the Keystone of the Crossings up there. You go all the way around 465 and get off at 31 and head south just to 86th Street, and you're right there.
Well, you've been around, and you coached for 27-plus years, and your Panther baseball teams won 400 games, 419, 8 sectionals, 2 regionals, coaching the Panthers. You had a couple of them, Greer, make the state's final 8. But this is an individual award, not a team award. Well, it is in a sense, and it isn't, but you're going in as an individual who had a chance to teach these young men, and not only in the classroom, but out on the baseball diamond. What's it, I mean, did you ever think maybe that day, that call that you got in Wisconsin would come around for you?
No, I didn't, Joe. When I first came out to Indiana back in 64, I came out with the idea that I was probably going to end up going back east to teach and coach and everything. And Nancy and I got married halfway through my graduate year, and we decided to stay, look around, and things worked out, and the rest is history. But when you said it's an individual thing, you're right. But I wouldn't be doing this or getting this award if it hadn't been for a lot of help along the way. And by that, I mean, you know, my family, my coaches, volunteer coaches, especially the players. I've had some great players along the way, and then the administration and that you have in the school and the faculty. All these things play a part in this and help my career.
Well, it did indeed, and you're talking about guys behind the scenes. Yeah, you were the skipper, the manager, the head coach of the baseball Panthers. You know, tell me about the first year. Your very first year, you know, you came and it was still Bloomington High School, was it not? You coached down at, were you at Central High?
it became Central Junior High. They moved into Bloomington High School, where it is currently. And we had all that. We inherited all the facilities they had at the old high school, and football field, baseball field, track, etc. And I taught physical education, but I was hired as, they hire you as a teacher, not a coach. And I had to coach 7th and 8th grade, 9th grade cross country and track, 9th grade basketball. Plus I helped with 7th and 8th grade football and 7th and 8th grade baseball. And it was quite a job, but I loved it. And I loved the kids, and that's how I got my start.
Well, and you had an opportunity when you broke in. Talk about your relationship with Marvin Groh, who was at that time the longtime skipper of the baseball Panthers, and it continued on. They won a state championship in 1972. That was going to be the final year of Bloomington High School, and then it turned soon after Marvin retired, you know, that's when you started your reign.
Well, I was coaching ninth grade baseball. And when Jim McMillan became the head coach after Marvin Groh, he coached for about 7 or 8 years, and I was freshman coach at the time, teaching at Batchelor Middle School. And then when Marvin had to resign because of retire because of health issues, Jim McMillan became the head coach. About that time, I was approached by Bob Lawrence, who succeeded Ernie Andres out at IU, and I went out to IU for 5 years as an assistant coach out there. And then things worked out. When Jim became athletic director, I interviewed for the job, and I was lucky enough to get it.
Yeah, thanks for and I forgot. Well, I didn't forget. When you went out to Indiana, and that was great that you had a chance to look at the collegiate beat. But you got that. But your heart and your soul, and you just mentioned everything you became as a person, as a teacher. The high school game and what it meant to you.
Oh my gosh, that first year was unbelievable. I inherited about 16 seniors that wanted to play, and that was tough. We lost a heartbreaker in a sectional championship game to Bloomington North, but I could see it coming. I had some great players along the way, and you just keep at it. When you get beat, you just turn around and work hard.
Well, you had a couple teams make the Final Eight. Let me have you put your mic just a little bit closer up there. You can bend that. Yeah, you can adjust that. Yeah. That sound better?
That sounds better.
Okay. All right. Who was the best player? Is that unfair? Who was the best talent, let me put it to you that way, that you ever coached in baseball at South? And which, what was your best team? Or your favorite team?
I'd have to evaluate and say the two best teams I probably worked with. And there were a lot of them, but you evaluated on how far you go in the state tournament at the time. And in 84,
right,
we had a great team led by Todd Easton and a good bunch of seniors. And then in 88, we went to the semi-state. And that was the year that I had Kevin Wilkerson that played second base for me. And he was elected to the All-Star team because of that, because we lost to Seymour three times that year by one run, and they won the state championship. They beat us in the final game of the semi-state. I can remember Bob Bowman, the coach at Seymour, coming to me and saying, Greer, he says, I like your second baseman. I says, well, I do too. And you want to have him on the All-Star team? He said, yeah. I says, good. He'll be excited about that.
Well, how much has the game changed? You look at it, you're still, you'll go out and watch a baseball game, and we're seeing still a lot of great teaching and a lot of talent. But has the high school game, as you see it now, from the eyes of a Hall of Famer soon to be inducted, has it changed that much?
Well.
And where has it changed, if it has?
If it has, it's changed at the lower levels, because now we have all your communities have what they call travel teams. And the travel teams get the best of the best, and they're going around playing the best of the best, and they're getting better. High school baseball in Indiana has come a long way. We got one of the best coaches association in the country. And when I'd go to clinics, and I've been to a few national clinics, they would ask us questions like you wouldn't believe. Always wanting to know, what do you guys do that's so special that you don't have a lot of success with? I think today's game of baseball, you still have to play by the fundamentals, and you got to work them all the time. What I see in Major League Baseball a lot of times right now is I see them getting away from that, and there's so much money involved, guys are getting paid to hit home runs. Don't worry about bunting.
Yeah.
And you've seen it. Everybody's seen it. But that's what people want to see. I get a little frustrated because when it gets close in some ball games, you ought to be putting the ball in play, making things happen. But look at how the pitching's changed over the years. You got a pitcher for every inning in the game.
Yeah. You got the old specialist. And that's why we both still love the high school scene, because there is something pure about it. It takes us back to, yes, there's nothing wrong with learning and teaching the fundamentals at that particular stage of the game.
Well, that's what gets you a lot of success. You win games. Fundamentals will win you games most of the time if you play good defensive baseball. But I can remember way back in the start of my career, and it's a neat story about Marvin Grove, if we have just a second here.
Okay.
And it was raining like crazy overnight. I got to school the next morning. I was still down at Old Central. We had a ball game that night. I'm thinking, how are we going to play this game? Well, I did something that got me in a little bit of trouble at school, but I took all the PE towels out in the field and sopped the water up. We were the only game in town. But when I came to school the next day, in my mailbox was a brand new dozen baseballs that Marvin Grove gave me. He says, good job, coach. You were the only game in town. Nice work.
Well, something, well, that's the way he treated people. And that was why he was one of the great coaches that coached in the state of Indiana. You're talking about Bob Bowman and the teams that he had at Seymour. Who were some of your other adversaries that you loved personally to go up against and beat? Those were, those were the three games losing by one run that, didn't go your way or the Panthers' way, but who'd you really enjoy beating?
Well, one of the first things I did when I got the job was try to beef up the schedule a little bit. I wanted the kids to play against some of the top competition around the
and
state.
And you did it. You had a great schedule.
And McCutcheon was one. Jasper was another one. Oh, my gosh, going down there. The facilities they had, the quality of baseball they played. Then we picked up some Indianapolis teams. Ben Davis, Chittard. Went down, we got Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, New Albany. I had to be out of my mind, even went as far as Evansville to play. Because during the course of my career, when you go around and work camps and you're doing these kind of things, you meet a lot of great coaches. And all of a sudden, you're wanting to play them. And they want to come to you, and you'll go back to them. Even Bart Burns down there at Linton, small 1A school. When they came to play us, they brought the whole town. It was unbelievable. But that's what I miss the most. I miss the coaching, and I miss the friendships that you make over the years.
Bloomfield was strong. John Heckman and the job he did at the old Spencer Cops. So they went to the, at Spencer High School, went to the, I think, 1967 state championship. Who else is going in with you the 22nd?
Andy Owens. But the one that, there's five of us total, and one in particular is Mark Riggins, and he's Jim Riggins' brother. Jim was a pitching coach for me for the last two or three years, and what a great person he was, and a good coach. And that's his brother. And Mark was a pitching coach of the Cardinals, then the Cubs, and now with the Reds.
Yes,
your
I heard
team,
that.
Joe, and I think it's going to help.
Yeah, well, it, well, if he's got any, well, he's going to have a lot of new faces, I'll say that. So we're looking forward to, developing that. Hey, before we let you go, again, give us the timetable. It's Friday night, the 22nd. Where at again?
It's going to be up at the Sheraton Hotel, Keystone of the Crossings.
Okay.
At 6 o'clock, they have what they call a social hour from 6 to 7. Then they open the doors in the banquet. You go in and you eat. And, they give awards for assistant coaches and all kinds of stuff. But the five inductees going in, including myself, will be starting somewhere around 8:30 or going on 9, whatever.
Well, we wanted to, you know, like I say, we've had conflicts. This is the first show from Yogi's this month of January, and I'm just glad I had an opportunity, found out last night that it was January and not April. In closing, Greer, you know, all the kids, all the memories, all the relationships with the parents and the faculty itself, what the game of baseball, what did it give you, and how will, have you thought about your speech, it's been so rewarding. It's been such a big part of your life.
Well, it was my life, Joe. It helped pay my way through college. And I was fortunate enough to be on a team that went to the College World Series in 1963. And you see what happens when you put things together. And I thought, boy, someday when I went to all those clinics, I said, I wonder if I'll ever really get a chance to be in the shoes of those guys that are giving those speeches. And I'm thinking, well, here it is. And I couldn't have been more humbled than I was when I got that phone call from our executive director. But the biggest thing is I'll be in pretty great company. There's a lot of good people in our association that are Hall of Famers.
Well, you've done a lot for the community, and, you know, we wish you the best on that special night. I know Nancy will help you write your speech, and you guys collaborated on raising a great family, and she has sat in on some great memorable moments of baseball. So, hey, have yourself a grand night a week from Friday. And, hey, thanks for popping on late notice,
well,
man.
Well, thanks for having me on, Joe.
And congratulations.
Appreciate that.
Greer Werner joining us going into the Indiana Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame a week from Friday. 419 victories, 8 sectionals, couple of regionals, 2 teams making the state's final 8. Well, that's going to kind of wrap it up for things here as we shut down for this particular Tuesday night. I want to make mention our shortstop barbecue train employee of the week, Brooke Piper. And just getting started this week in the zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6. Don't forget Michigan State in town to take on Indiana, the women at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and then our high school game, Edgewood and Owen Valley. John Callahan, Terry Stoltz, 7 o'clock from the Patriot Hall over in Spencer. The WIC East title will be on the line. And, of course, the Hoosiers against Minnesota at the barn. Big screen TV right here at the Yogi's Grill and Bar. So for our producer, and we thank all of our sponsors, and Beer School will be getting ready to start here just momentarily. And a program reminder, we'll be joining the NBC Sports Capsule in just a few moments. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. FYI, our next show, and it'll be a big night. February the 9th, we'll be announcing the Monroe County 2016 Sports Hall of Fame class. Be with us on that night and come on into Yogi's. Hey, have a great week, everybody. For Jim Ritter and our producers, Joanna Glasscott, Mike Glasscott, and to Fred Glass, of course, Dwayne Goldman, Nate Jackson, and to Greer Werner, who will have his big night a week from Friday. So long for now, and we'll see you in February.